We welcome everyone in the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Today's class is given by His Grace Brajmohan Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So I'm very grateful to be amidst you. Sincere devotees that come online for the hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting together. So let's start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, text number 44. Maitreya Uvacha, Etatte Adhitam Sarvam Yadbhrishtoham Yudhvaya, Dhruvasyo Dhama Yashascharitam Tammatam Satam. Maitreya Uvacha, the great sage Maitreya said, Etat, this, say unto you, Abhihitam, described, Sarvam, everything, yet, what, Prishta Aham, I was asked, Iha, here, Tvaya, by you, Dhruvasya, of Dhruva Maharaj, Uddhama, greatly lifting, Yashasha, whose reputation, Charitam, character, Sammatam, approved, Satam, by great devotees. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, whatever you have asked from me about the great reputation and character of Guru Maharaj, I have explained to you in all detail. Great saintly persons and devotees very much like to hear about Guru Maharaj. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam means everything in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we hear the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord, or we hear about the character, reputation and activities of His devotees, they are all one and the same. Neophyte devotees simply try to understand the pastimes of the Lord and are not interested in hearing about the activities of His devotees. But such discrimination should not be indulged in by any real devotee. Sometimes less intelligent men try to hear about the rasa dance of Krishna and do not take care to hear about other portions of Srimad Bhagavatam, which they completely avoid. There are professional Bhagavat reciters who abruptly go to the rasa lila chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam as if other portions of Srimad Bhagavatam were useless. This kind of discrimination and abrupt adoption of the rasa lila pastimes of the Lord is not approved by the acharyas. A sincere devotee should read every chapter and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam, for the beginning verses describe that it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. Devotees should not try to avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavatam. The great sage Maitreya therefore affirmed herein that the Bhagavatam is Sammatam Satam, approved by great devotees. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Unvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhittam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Karati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsham Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानो तुजे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज वंस अगेन फॉर श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास ऑन द फोर्थ कैंटो 12th चैप्टर ध्रुव महाराज गोज बैक टू गॉड इट एंड हियर इन Maitreya is concluding the narration of Dhruva Charitra, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, how he achieved the Supreme Lord. And this whole narration of Dhruva Leela is a case study or an example of devotional service in the mode of passion. Because in the third canto, when Lord Kapila explains bhakti, he explains bhakti is of four types. Bhakti can be performed in the mode of ignorance, bhakti in the mode of ignorance. Those devotees that are heavily influenced by mode of ignorance, how do they perform bhakti? That is the Daksha and Shiva's part, the Daksha Yajna, where there was cursing and counter-cursing that was happening, and ultimately there was destruction. And then the second is Dhruva Charita, that is devotional service by those who are influenced by the mode of passion. Here we have Dhruva, who was again criticized or not given his the position, and he was heavily hurt, and he wanted to take revenge. But somehow in that revenge element there was Vishnu, there was Krishna. And very interestingly, for Dhruva, where did he get the direction that he has to approach to Vishnu? It was from the same person that gave him so much distress. It was Suruchi. When Suruchi didn't allow Dhruva Maharaj to sit on the throne, she said that he'll have to take birth from my womb to get the qualification to sit on this throne. And for you to take birth from my womb, you have to go and please Lord Vishnu. And if you please Lord Vishnu, then you'll become eligible to take birth from my womb. Of course, Dhruva couldn't take it. Dhruva was highly upset that how can my rightful claim to this throne, to this position, this object. Sthana bilashi tapasi stito. I wanted this shelter of my father's lap. He wanted to sit on his father's lap, like we have laptop. So he wanted to sit on the top of the lap of his father. And he was denied laptop. And he became angry, and then he went with great fierce anger in his face and his body. He went to his mother Suniti, and he told Suniti what happened. And Suniti, she just confirmed that yes, what your stepmother has said, that you need to worship Lord Vishnu, is right, because only by his grace anyone gets whatever one gets. So Suniti only gave more confirmation, more support to what Suruchi said, and she also empathized that somehow, because Suni Suruchi is more attractive. Your father spent more time there, and we cannot blame anyone but accept this as our destiny. And she directs Lord Dhruva Maharaj to Lord Vishnu. And then the third is Narada Muni, who gives Dhruva Maharaj the process of actually accepting of devotion service, that how to perform devotion service. So usually out of distress, people search for Krishna, and then some pious people or those who have proper wisdom, they may direct us towards devotees, and then by Krishna's mercy, we come in contact with a pure devotee that ultimately helps us to connect to Krishna. But the seed of it was from Suruchi. So often those people that put us into great distress, and those situations can become the great places for even a better life, a complete life to come from. If Suruchi hadn't said that, he would have just gone on with his regular routine of being a prince and enjoying all the things and never thinking that nothing belongs to me, that everything is my property, I can enjoy anything that I want. And I would lead a life of just being a good king or a normal king. But because of Suruchi's sharp words, we are not saying that you become like Suruchi, speak sharply to others. You should always be very satyam priyam, Krishna says. You should speak the truth, but speak in a palatable way. But that same situation, same person who put Dhruva into distress, also gave the direction in Dhruva's life for something greater, something that was for eternal benefit. So therefore, even Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he said that those people who condemn or criticize me, often they are my greatest well-wishers, because if they don't show me the faults that I am having, I will never try to improve. So this is one attitude that the devotee tries to inculcate in his life, that never take anything in a negative way, but in a way that how can I improve? Well, there must be way by which I can grow in this situation or in this criticism. So that is Dhruva Charitra in devotion, in the mode of passion, where there was cursing that was done, there was appropriation that was done, and Dhruva also wanted to take revenge, but somehow Suniti and there was Krishna's element that was involved, and he finally came to Narada Muni and to Vishnu. And in for devotion in the mode of goodness, Krutu Maharaj's story will come in the future verse, in the future chapters, where there was again a tiff, because there was a fight for position. There was Indra became highly insecure about the position, that Krutu is trying to become Kshatakratu, he's trying to perform 100 sacrifices, and after the 99 he started to create obstacles. And then Krutu Maharaj's son, he was trying to drive away the obstacles, but then Indra was coming in all different types of dresses, sometimes as sannyasi, and different attires, just to divert and stop them from doing. And Bhagavatam says that is the time when all the different types of adharmas, all different types of pseudo-religions originated from Indra dressing in different ways. And usually any type of pseudo-religion, even that Bhagavatam talks about, dharma projata kaita vatra paramo nirmat sarana sata. Bhagavatam is kicking out all types of fake or counter-religions, the religion that is not actually really there. It is just like a fake currency or fake gold. Nowadays it is a quiet fashion to wear all this, what you call, roll gold. In India we call it a roll gold diamond necklaces. And often they are very beautiful, they look very elegant, But thing with, and the real necklaces that people may have, they are often of same design. Once you buy one necklace or a jewelry, you can't often change it. So it may appear to be that you are wearing the same thing again and again. But somebody who is wearing a fake one, something that is not real, they may be having different designs, different shapes every time they come. But the issue with all this fake jewelry and counter jewelry is that if you go and try to sell it back in the shop or in the market, it has no value. When you buy it, it may be costing some hundreds of dollars. Like recently, when I was in New York, I went to the New York Fashion Street to buy some jewelry for Radha Gopinath and Radha Vrindavan Bihari. And it was quite a huge place with lot of different designs. And some devotees were asking me that, why are you buying jewelry from here? All the jewelry is available in India. But then some devotees said that, no, New York Fashion District has jewelry from all across the world. So there are some designs, some things that you don't get in India. And that was true, that some designs were not, I never saw them, especially the colors and the structures that were there. So we bought some of them. In fact, not some of them. The bill went to nearly $500 with all the jewelry that we bought. And some jewelry, it was not real gold, it was not real diamonds, but some were like $40, $50, one thing. And once I take it out of the shop, and once I want to give it back, then that jewelry has no value, he won't take it back. But whereas if it's a real gold, real diamonds, I can always take back to the jewelry shop, and he will be able to take it, because the beauty or the value of the substance, of the thing, of the jewelry, is not just in the design or the appearance, but it is in the substance itself. And when the value is in the substance itself, then no matter what kind of design or shape you put in, the glow will be there. And same way, Krishna wants to show that, especially through his devotees, that my devotees, they're not just, as Prabhupada says, a show bottle, that just for show, they are not there. That no matter what kind of situation you put in, because the substance is of real gold, they are always there with the same kind of color, same kind of glow. Therefore, in childhood, I used to have different aphorisms for there for which you should learn. One of the things that I really remember my teacher taught me was, all that glitters is not gold. And same thing with that, in when situations are all going well, we may all glitter. But when tests come, when tests of success comes, tests of failure comes, how do we perform? How do we turn to Krishna? That's what Bhagavatam is about. Bhagavatam is a case study of how devotees have responded in different situations. And when there is test, then you know whether it is a real goal or it was just a paint of real, of true gold, or it was whole soul.
Hello?
Or duplicate.
Hello?
Please mute the phone.
So coming to...
I guess, Prabhuji, can you speak a little louder also? Sorry.
Okay. Is it okay now? It's just,
yes, Prabhu.
If I keep the phone near me, the YouTube video looks a little odd.
Okay. Yes, now it's okay.
So, continuing our discussion of Bhagavatam.
Dhruva Maharaj, he was very much in the mode of passion, and therefore Vishnu, when he guided him, ultimately got transformed, and to an extent when he came back, he was not envious, he was not angry upon his stepmother nor on his stepbrother. And now the situation is coming that he is thinking about his mother, that how can I go back to the Vaikuntha planet, leaving my mother behind, because she was the one who actually guided me to Vishnu. She was grateful. And one minute, I got the wire so that another devotee. So, coming to this specific verse, this is the context or the elaboration of where this pastime stands. Here, Dhruva Maharaj, after narrating. Yes, Mataji.
Sorry, but your voice was very clear in between. I don't know what did you do. It became like, you know, again, little, you know.
Is it good now?
Yes.
Is it good now?
You know, it's not coming. The voice is clear for me, so I don't think it's for everybody. It's always been very good for me. I've never had any problem.
Hare Krishna, how is the voice now? How is the voice now?
For me, it's always been very clear. Very clear.
It's okay?
Yes, Prabhu, continue.
Continue? Okay. So, and I want to just focus on what Maitreya is emphasizing here, and what especially Srila Prabhupada is putting emphasis in this verse, that it is not just that we hear about Krishna, but it is equally important that we also hear about his devotees, because Krishna's glories are manifested in his interaction with his devotees. If a person is just him, just the person is there, you'll never be able to know what exactly is his likings, what is his qualities. But when the person interacts, that's when you start to know more and more about that person. And therefore Krishna, along with hearing about Krishna, which it is as important to hear about those devotees that have given their life to Krishna. Therefore, in the third canto also this verse comes, Shvatasya pumsam fucharashramasya nanvanjasa suribir edito artha tattat gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu vesha. So here the verse says that Shvatasya pumsam fucharashramasya, one has to put great labor, great hard work, and for a long time, one should hear. And one should hear about Krishna, and also about tat-tat gunanushravanam. Also about those that are hearing about Krishna, that are living their life, the pure devotees. So persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time, must hear from the mouths of pure devotees. But about whom? About the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, who awards his devotees liberation. So when we hear about the devotees, then Krishna becomes more and more closer. Like when I was studying at IIT Bombay, I was part of an astronomy club. And as part of this astronomy club, sometimes they used to call us at the dead of the night in a lonely place in the mid of the fields to show us different planets. And we used to go, and then this teacher or this head used to set up the telescope very finely and used to ask us, now I have set this telescope to see the Jupiter or Venus. And please be mindful, don't touch the instrument at all, because even a small vibration, because the object is so far, any small vibration or disturbance in the angle, if it is if the Jupiter is visible at 33 degrees height, at the angle of 33 degrees, and by your touching, if it even goes to 33.0004 degrees, then the object will be lost. As they say that when a flight takes off from New York, and it is heading towards Moscow, and as if it is heading towards Moscow from New York, if its angle changes by even 0.0001% degree, then instead of landing in Moscow, it will land in Delhi. And of course, we all know how far Delhi and Moscow are. They are not near. So we used to be very careful and try to see the Jupiter through the telescope. And because the object is so far, we need a telescope. And what is telescope? Telescope is series of lenses that bring that object that is so far closer. And same way, the more devotees we put between us and Krishna, it is not that we become far away. In this world, the more people come between us and the other party, we become farther and farther. Like say, husband and wife are there, and then husband goes to job, then there is boss, then there is other people. So the more people come into somebody's life, the more they get farther. But the beauty of devotees coming to our life is, the more the acharyas, the devotees come into our life, the more they bring Krishna closer and closer. So therefore, if you really want to see Krishna, otherwise a small aberration, small air that may flow for near the telescope, and the planet is gone. Same way with Krishna, there are many yogis, many rishis, many tapasvis that try to directly connect to Krishna, but because it's a one-way channel that's trying to connect to Krishna, any small disturbance in their sadhana or in their methodology, then they don't achieve. They get allured, they get tempted, they fall down. But when we approach the devotees, because devotees are firmly fixed, so therefore, even if we deviate, we don't get lost fully. There's always chance that we can come back very quickly, back again on the proper track. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes here that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not only Krishna is described, but in different cantos, the lives of different devotees are described. And when we hear about the lives of these different devotees, we get to know how to properly approach Krishna, how to properly pray to Krishna, what do we expect from Krishna, and what do we do when Krishna comes into our lives. And without all this training, all this knowledge, even if Krishna comes in front of us, either we will not know how to properly reciprocate with him, or we will not even recognize him that he is actually the Supreme Lord, because we have not gone through the proper process. Like Prabhupada sometimes used to say that even if Krishna comes in front of you, you will not recognize him. You will think he is a drama actor. Sometimes when there is drama, somebody dresses as Krishna. So he may look like Krishna, but you will say you are a drama actor. And even if somebody comes with a peacock feather on his head, and a flute, and a turban, and dhoti, and all the way Krishna looks, even if somebody comes right now in front of us, there is no surety that we will actually understand, because Krishna is not understood by our eyes, but is understood by our ears. And therefore Prabhupada here is saying that when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many professional reciters, all these professional reciters, they jump directly to the very elevated topics of Rasalila. And Prabhupada writes here that as if other portions of Srimad Bhagavatam were useless. And in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we see that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam very diligently and repeatedly from Gadadhar Pandit, especially these two stories, Dhruva Charitra and Prahlad Charitra. He was hearing regularly. In fact, after reciting Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, again, please read again. So here is Radha and Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit is the manifestation of Srimati Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Radha and Krishna both are sitting together. And what are they hearing about? They are hearing about Dhruva. And why they are in so much ecstasy? Because just like a mother and father, they are always happy to hear about how their children performed. How did they go through? What was their life history? Like always see that my mother is always anxious to know what am I doing, and if there is any YouTube video comes up or if I'm giving any talk anywhere. So, so she is eager to see that too, although she doesn't understand English at all, but she wants to see because it is her creation, her child, and every parent likes to see how their children perform. Recently also, it's a common story, but Aishwarya Rai Bachchan, so she went to her kid's school to see her kid dancing, and her kid is daughter is not very grown up, just a small kid, and the dance was also not something very artistic or something very very advanced. It was some simple dance. Of course, I have not watched, but something that nursery kids or LKG kids do. But the mother, although she herself may be a very famous personality or dancer, but when their children want to perform or doing some activity, they want to be there. They are very highly excited and very blissful to see how they are doing. And same ways when in the temple, when devotees come with their children, if we greet them, they are happy. But if any brahmachari or any devotee makes their children happy or gives them some gift or something, although the mother didn't get anything, the mother becomes so blissful. Like just recently, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he went after spending 3-5 months in India, he went for West. So at the time when he was going, one devotee had offered a garland, nice garland with the very fragrant flowers that are available here. And then when he had to go, he usually places that garland on someone or other. And this time, he just took the garland and he said, this is for everyone that is present. So on behalf of everyone, I will put on one devotee. And then he was looking for whom to put on this garland. And then suddenly one devotee brought one kid, one young boy, and said, Maharaj, here today is his birthday. So today is his birthday, he has come in the Mangalati time to the temple. So they were kind of suggesting, Maharaj, you put on him. And my eyes were on both Maharaj putting garland on this boy, but also my eyes was on the mother. The mother also had come, she was a devotee. I was looking at her. And out of all the people that were present there, she was the most happy when Maharaj placed that garland on this, on her boy. And the boy was also not so happy. In fact, he looked a little kind of out of place because he never expected Maharaj to reciprocate this way. But the mother was so blissful. So when the children do something, the parents are always very happy to see them or hear about them. The children is just walking. Even if he is trying to walk and falling down, the mothers are happy. And now YouTube, everything is shot and put it on online, that my mother, my kid tried to walk today or tried to sit today, tried to talk today. Most of it is not very much broken. Same way, Krishna and Radharani, as Gauranga and Gadadhar, they were very blissfully hearing about how Dhruva, he surrendered to, he achieved perfection. How Prahlad achieved perfection. So, in this way, we can, and so Prabhupada always used to say that here is Radha and Krishna directly hearing about the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we have though some people that don't want to discuss all these other pastimes and they directly jump to the Radha Krishna Rasa Leela. And Prabhupada often has condemned that unless we purify our heart, hearing about these pastimes, highly exalted pastimes of Madhurya Ras, will only further contaminate our heart. And in fact, it is Bhakti Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to say that when somebody hears this pastime without proper purification, it is like an orchestra being played in a crematorium. An orchestra is quite beautiful, quite melodious, but when you play orchestra in a crematorium, who will get awakened? Who will dance? All the ghosts and all the ghosts that are in that crematorium, they will get awakened, they will dance. And same way Gaur Kishore Das Maharaj used to say that without enough purification, when you try to delve into these pastimes, only all the anarthas that are there of lust, of anger, greed, all these only become more and more prominent. Therefore, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, when I read Krishna book, especially these stories, I get agitated." So Prabhupada said, "Then you don't read. You're not qualified to read. Don't read those pastimes." But because Krishna has performed them, it also seems to be that we read them because they are all Krishna Leela. So therefore, when it comes to hearing, it is said that there are four types of hearing. The first type of hearing is called as incidental hearing. Incidental hearing is, say you are sitting in a Srimad Bhagavatam class and this devotee, he is speaking some section of the Bhagavatam and somehow he was relishing some aspect and he brings up this topic. Or even in the Bhagavatam, when we are reading, say, in the first canto about Bhishma, Bhishma is passing away. And as Bhishma is offering his prayers to Krishna, he prays that, "Let my mind be fixed upon Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles were of love and attracted the Vrajavasis, especially the gopis." And the gopis, especially after the Rasa Leela, when Krishna had disappeared, they were imitating the pastimes. Now, right in the first canto, when Bhishma, the 10th chapter, there is mention about the Rasa Leela. But we are not delving into that topic. It is Bhishma Dev that is recollecting this pastime. And so as we are reading through, say, Bhagavatam, if we happen to read some of these pastimes, it is not breaking the etiquette. This is it is incidental hearing. So hearing of the exalted pastimes in the course of one's reading, without pursuing the subject matter further, okay, how did they exactly imitate and jumping the chapters and going and reading, without enough qualification, that kind of hearing is perfect because you are just going through the verses and you are, through the reference of Bhishma Dev or Sri Prabhupada, you are getting an access. So because it is done in the proper method, it is not considered to be breaking any etiquette. So that is first type of hearing called as incidental hearing. The second type of hearing is called as purposeful hearing, that you have a specific interest in some particular topic or subject. Say Kartik is coming, or Varadev's appearance is coming, and because Varadev's appearance is coming, you want to meditate and hear about that pastime more. So this type of hearing or reading is called as purposeful reading, that you choose, you hear about Srila Prabhupada speaking about Madhvacharya or some other great devotee, and you have a desire to know more about Madhvacharya or about that particular pastime. So you pick up some book that speaks more about that. So that is known as purposeful reading. And when it comes to purposeful reading, a devotee should be very mindful of their qualification. That is, they are qualified to enter into that topics. And when Prabhupada himself was there in Los Angeles in 1976, Prabhupada had established GBC Governing Body Commission to govern the entire society. But there was a local GBC that was made in Los Angeles, that was Gopi Bhav Club. And they were specifically trying to study and discuss about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So this is purposefully getting into that topic without proper sanction. And Prabhupada disapproved that kind of purposeful reading about especially those exalted pastimes. And the third kind of reading or hearing is called as practiced hearing or practiced reading, where on one reading that subject matter is so important that you want to practice it to remember it. Say the description of Krishna's form or some prayers of some devotees or some qualities of Krishna. So we repeatedly read and hear about them, say the prayers to the six Goswamis or anything. And when we do that, and even the verse in the Nectar of Instruction, it mentions that one should tanna. Rasana Niyojya, that one should regularly and specifically practice to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. Because unless one hears, those may not become in the forefront of our consciousness. Just like when we are typing a document, there is font size. Now there are different font sizes to emphasize the importance. So same way, we want to specifically remember some of the qualities of Krishna. Say, Gaur Purnima is coming, we want to become more aware about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that situation, to go and memorize some verses, this is known as practiced hearing and reading. That you repeat, and best practice that we all are trying to do is chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We are trying to regularly, every day, chant the verse, the Hare Krishna mantra, because we want that to be a very strong memory, that no matter what happens, we will not forget this. And in all situations, we are able to remember this. So that is one type of hearing called as practiced hearing. And in this, it is the main purpose is we want Krishna's, those qualities to be in our memory, in our remembrance. So for the sake of remembrance, we are doing practice reading or hearing. And then the highest is called as the specific hearing. A specific hearing is one of the most advanced types of hearing, where the devotee specifically focuses on the different eightfold daily pastimes of Krishna, Ashtakaliya Lila. According to the time of the day, he is meditating, okay, now Lord Krishna is doing this, doing that. And this is considered to be the most elevated, because Krishna, in all his pastimes, we are trying to follow his timeline. Lord Krishna doesn't have any Facebook timeline, but acharyas have given his timeline, that what does he do in different times. And those kinds of pastimes, there are, it is considered to be in a very exalted way to hear, exalt. And I heard one of the classes of Adi Gadadapu, where he was speaking about, instead of meditating on Ashtakaliya Lila of Radha Krishna, it is safer to meditate on Ashtakaliya Lila of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Lila is without any kind of crossing the borders, getting into higher topics, because it is all about Harinam Sankirtan, and in the Harinam Sankirtan, everything that is in Vrindavan Lila is included in the chanting of Hare Krishna. So at different times, how does Lord Chaitanya serve his devotees, how does Lord Chaitanya inspire his devotees, and how does he perform Nam Sankirtan, those are there. And finally, I would like to end by saying that Prabhupada is speaking here about the offenses that when professional reciters, when they try directly get into Raslila pastimes, they are offensive. And there was long back one document made about why we consider them to be offensive, because of five offenses they commit. Basically, out of all Prabhupada's writings, these devotees have made a list of five offenses that the professional reciters, or those that get into these higher topics without proper qualification, do. So the first offense that they do when they directly jump into higher topics is that they don't have proper adhikar. Without proper adhikar, they are trying to hear these topics. When I went to Gita Nagari the last time, in Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Samadhi, I had found a book. And there were many books that were kept, but this book, I won't even mention the name, but this book was quite interesting. And I picked up the book, and this was about Radha Krishna's Ashtakaliya Lila. Never I had seen a book that mentioned entire timeline of what happens. And as I started to read, after a while, I seeing the exaltedness and the achintya, the inconceivable pastimes that the Lord does, I started to feel that I am not qualified to enter this space of Radha and Krishna's Leela. And then I very respectfully kept the book back. But sometimes we make, so that is without proper, having proper adhikar, we tend to download some audio from some Radha Kund Babaji and try to hear it. The second offense is that you may be qualified sometimes, but your audience may not be qualified, and you speak publicly on confidential subjects. That subjects that are supposed to be discussed in closed circles or among devotees that can understand the gravity of these subjects, you speak publicly. That is also another offense that these professional recitators do. That can be even us. The third offense is that the audience, one is to speak publicly, and third is to speak to an audience that is unqualified to hear this level of pastimes. These, of course, second and third seem to be the same, but one is to speak, another is that knowing that somebody is unqualified, you still speak. The fourth offense that the professional reciters of Bhagavatam do is that those pastimes that are supposed to be put on the highest pedestal of worship and maintain a lot of gravity. Like I always remember, whenever our yatra goes to Radha Kund, His Holiness Radharan Maharaj always emphasizes the gravity and the seriousness with which we have to approach this place. But many times they make it a into a entertainment, a kind of entertainment. All these sacred forms, pastimes that are there, it is turned into a type of entertainment. And the fifth offense is that the profits, or it is done for a material purpose to create, to earn some money. Most of these reciters charge heavy money, and most the main drive is to make money, to make a living out of reading Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is also said those who make a living out of reading Bhagavatam or living Bhagavatam, they are highly condemned. So these are the four types of hearing: the incidental, the purposeful, the practiced, and the specific hearing, and the five offenses in hearing. So I'd like to end here and take any questions or any comments that devotees may have about what we discussed today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Sanat Sinan, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.
All good, Shri Sri Prabhupada Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very nice class, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me opportunity to share.
Hare Krishna, is there any question or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam, very, very nice class Prabhuji, thank you so much. So Prabhuji, I couldn't pay attention to the last thing that you said about the hearing, and can you repeat those points, Prabhuji?
Four types of hearing or reading? Or the five types of offenses, that five ways we may offend Bhagavatam when we are reading? Which one?
Yes, Prabhu. Both, Prabhu.
So five ways. You want the four types of hearing or the five types of offenses? Which one?
If you can just mention both of them. I had missed some points in both.
Okay. Incidental hearing is, as we are reading, we come across some pastimes that Prabhupada is mentioning or some devotee in some class is mentioning. It's not a specific way we want to hear that. It's a regular habit to hear Bhagavatam class, and in the Bhagavatam class, some topics about the gopis or Krishna's Ras Lila comes and we hear. So that's incidental hearing, that is all right, that is allowed. The second is purposeful reading, that you are interested about a specific subject matter and you get into that. For that, you should verify whether you have proper adhikar to read, get into those topics. Third is practiced reading or hearing. You want to remember that, and therefore you are regularly reading it and memorizing it. And this can be Krishna's, about Krishna's form or Krishna's different qualities or prayers of devotees, so that when you go in front of the deities, you can offer the same prayers. That is called as practiced reading or hearing. And fourth is specific hearing, where we specifically get into the high pastimes, which is where the main guard or main inhibition Prabhupada warns us that. And these are the five offenses, that five ways we can offend Bhagavatam when we get into elevated topics without proper adhikar. Just because you found a book or you found some article, you go and read it. The second offense is that you speak publicly on these confidential subjects. Third is, say, on YouTube or any platforms. Third is you speak to audience that is unqualified to hear this. Even in the Mahamantra, it is said, it is an offense to preach the glories of the Mahamantra to faithless. So if somebody is not qualified to speak to an audience, that is third way. Fourth is you make an entertainment out of, instead of placing it in and worshipping these pastimes of Ras Lila, you compare it with some mundane affairs and you make an entertainment show out of this. Like so many now movies, serials are coming out on Radha Krishna and and so many of our Puranic things. And many times it is a entertainment way. They cook up so many concoctions, different things, and just to make it entertaining. So that is also offending Krishna's pastimes. And fifth is to you use profits for material purposes, that you are making a living or some kind of material motive is there behind your reading or hearing. So there is also a way of offending to this. Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very Thank nice. You said that you found this in a book, Prabhuji, any specific book?
This was an article that was compiled by His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj about four types of hearing and speaking, that to clarify what devotees should hear, how devotees should, and it's a compilation of all Srila Prabhupada's mention about what one should hear, what one should not hear. So this was an article that was circulated long back. So I thought I'll mention that, because it's a Prabhupada is also mentioning about how one should not jump over and get into advanced topics immaturely, because it won't purify us. In fact, it will contaminate us.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I too would like to review these offenses and different types of hearing, because there are a couple of them in both categories that sounded very similar. So I understood incidental hearing, and I also understood intentional hearing, where you want to hear, well, you want to dive deeper for the purpose of memorizing certain aspects, and there was another kind of intentional hearing. It was not just for memorization, but I think because you want to just understand it more deeply, right?
Yes.
And then the last one, the fourth kind, what was the fourth kind of hearing?
It's called a specific hearing, where it seems to be like the naming is kind of same, but specific hearing is where you delve into Ashtakalya Leela, about Lord Krishna's different pastimes that he did in Vrindavan. This is the highest way devotees hear in. They are always meditating what time Krishna is going here or there, and they are trying to read and hear about that. So that kind of hearing is what is guarded, that one should not get into those topics. The naming is still not clear, but that is the one. The specific hearing about Lord Krishna's highest pastimes should not be done immaturely.
Okay, but that one is different from the kind of hearing where it's not the astakala.
In the intentional reading, you're just submissive, and the speaker happens to speak that, and you're hearing. In the second type, you want to understand the subject matter more. Therefore, you read about it more. Mm-hmm. In the third, you just don't want to understand. You want to remember it. That's the third type. You want to remember, therefore, that is practice. You are reading, you are trying to recollect, repeated hearing and reading.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Radha and Krishna's high pastimes, even if you want to remember it, even if you want to understand it more, unless you have the proper adhikar, you cannot do the fourth type of hearing, that is specific hearing, that getting into all this. I'm only doing it so that I can remember. But even for remembering or understanding, one should have proper qualification. One should not get into with other. I'm reading this just so I can understand it more. We can always inquire with devotees. It's not that these pastimes are ever banned for devotees. We are all supposed to release them, but slowly, just like a small child, if he suddenly tries to release something that is heavy to digest, he will have diarrhea. She will have diarrhea. So sweet rice is not given immediately. First, something that is easily digested is given. As the child improves his in digestion, then he can digest heavier things. So same way, the more a devotee indulges, the more he has to have that quality of humility and feeling himself utterly unqualified. Without that element, all the pastimes of Radha Krishna will either make somebody proud or somebody fall away, thinking this is all material.
Yes, yes. Because if you're hearing those pastimes, thinking that they're like the same as our mundane pastimes, then it will be offensive.
Yes.
And that's what creates the quote-unquote diarrhea, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then also then with the offenses, there seem to, although you named, I think, four types, there seem to be...
Five.
Oh, okay. So I basically heard a couple of different types. So basically those who are using Krishna's pastimes and Shastra for the sake of material gain.
Yes.
And the other main type that I heard was those who are indiscriminately preaching these pastimes and Shastra to those who aren't in a position to understand properly.
Yes.
So those are, it seemed like the, you mentioned five, but they all seem to be basically
They're close to each other, but just like when you want to emphasize something, so the devotees mention it in different ways, just so that it is clear. It is loud and clear. Like you said, do you get it? So same way, the devotees have mentioned these five offenses, that so that things are loud and clear. They all have different angles to the same thing. One is
out
of material profit, another is out of you are just trying to make it entertaining and remove the gravity of the pastime. Another is you don't even think who is sitting in front of you, or you just put it on some public forum. Say you just print it and say, I am not discriminating. The people have to discriminate, but it is your thing that you have put it. So that is just speaking publicly or speaking to an audience that is unqualified. Both can be put in same category, but here devotees have outlined specifically because Prabhupada has spoken both of this in different places. And it makes sense now in social media channel that just speaking publicly is also can become offensive. And speaking to somebody specifically who is not qualified is also offensive.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
And the first is that you don't have adhikar, first of all, and you are getting into it. Others are not qualified. But the first thing, you are only not qualified, and you are getting into that.
Yeah. Well, that, very beautiful clarification. And this, switching to a different subject, I just wanted to, I guess maybe this is more of a comment, that it was very it was very interesting to hear your analogy about a person who buys costume jewelry, right?
Yes.
And, you know, they cannot sell that back because they don't have value. But the genuine stones, you know, no matter how it's designed, you know, they will always have value.
Yes.
And the reason why that was interesting for me was because although you were trying to make one point using that analogy, for me it was amazing because it's so beautifully illustrated a different point that somebody was trying to make to me yesterday. You know, because yesterday I asked somebody about the fact that, you know, some deities are so, so attractive to me, and other deities I don't find attractive at all, you know. And so the person was explaining to me that, you know, once, you know, well, for one thing, I had that experience because, you know, I'm on the mental platform, you know. I'm seeing things through my senses, you know. But once Krishna reveals himself, you know, then I won't be seeing the deity. I won't be seeing the deities through my mind. I'll be seeing, you know, Krishna revealing himself. And so, and on that platform, all the deities will be beautiful.
Yes.
So your analogy helped me with this explanation, because it showed that, you know, if you have the real vision of Krishna, then just like with a genuine stone, no matter what design it's presented in, it will retain its value. Similarly with deities, if you're actually seeing Krishna, then you will see him, and you will see him regardless of the deity form in which he's presented, you know.
Yes.
Whereas if you see him, yeah, if you see him on the mental platform, that's like seeing the costume jewelry, you know.
Just seeing the design. Like even when most of us fall into this trap that when we go in front of the deity, we are only looking at how the jyoti is folded, and we gauge the whole beauty or the thing called about Krishna just on the dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of Krishna is beyond the dressing. In fact, he said that the ornaments are beautified because they are in touch with Krishna. It's not that Krishna is beautified by the ornaments. When we wear ornaments, it beautifies us. But when Krishna has ornaments, it beautifies the ornaments. So even our vision is many times on the design. We are still not looking at the real substance because we don't yet have the eyes of bhakti by which Krishna is revealed to us. But as we meditate and we are in that zone of Krishna, may not be fully there, but at least because Krishna is wearing and we are looking at the designs of Krishna's dress and all that. Or even in that we can meditate, oh, Krishna is wearing this way, that way. Like when the gopas, it is said when they see Krishna dressed by Yashoda, they don't like. Say, what is all this gold and everything? So they remove all that and then they put peacock, forest flowers and something light, because they are thinking if with all this heavy jewelry, Krishna will walk slow and he will not play properly with us because so much jewelry, so he can't play freely. So they remove all that and every gopa dresses. And Krishna's glory is that he is dressed by each gopa simultaneously, and to each gopa he appears like that whole day, thinking as if Krishna didn't accept others. So that's the glory of Krishna. So in that way,
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch the last two sentences. After you said that after
the
they remove
boys, the different coward boys, they dress Krishna because they don't like Yashoda Mai's dressing because so many ornaments, so they feel Krishna will not be free to play because he's having so much of all of this ornaments on him. So they remove all that, and each gopa, either in groups or individually, they make garlands, they make different ornaments for Krishna out of forest flowers, leaves, and they decorate Krishna. So one person being decorated by thousands and hundreds of devotees, and Krishna accepts each devotee's dressing, and he remains in that way whole day, and to that devotee. So same way, Krishna is in different places all over the world, but all these devotees are decorating Krishna. It is like different gopas decorating Krishna, different gopis decorating Krishna, and Krishna has the capacity to accept their dressings. So even when we see different designs and things, it is different Krishna's different love for his different devotees expressed.
Yeah. And I was just going to say also that, you know, even not only the different dressings, you know, is what we generally appreciate, but even the presentation of the face, you know, can be seen on mental platform, you know. I like this face, I don't like the other face. But yeah, I like the point that, yes, you know, Krishna's dressing is representative of his relationship, right, with his different devotees.
With the devotee's relationship is like that. And Krishna is the only person who can have such kind of personal relationship with each and everyone. None of us have that capacity to reciprocate with more than five people. Even that is a challenge for us.
Yeah, you know, on the same point, you know, I wonder if it's really valid that, you know, there was on the internet, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was the deities in Hungary that were dressed in, you know, like Christmas kind of.
They are a little bit controversial. Those can get into, that's another topic that can Krishna be dressed, if a devotee has any mood, can Krishna be dressed as like Santa Claus?
Because that seems, you know, one can argue that that's the deity's relationship with those devotees.
Therefore there is Guru and Shastras for us to, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra for us to confirm whether anything and everything is okay or there is some kind of
standards.
So those are all touchy topics, so I don't want to get into that.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you very, very much for that elaboration on this point. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you very much for your assistance. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you, Mataji. So I think it's time.
Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, Prabhuji, so
I'm not able
Shyama
to
Gauri
hear.
Not able to hear. Shyama Gauri, can you please repeat? Not able to hear.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. We should not hear the pastimes of Radha Krishna like that. And can we hear Gopi Gita then?
There is a way to hear. When proper devotees are speaking with proper gravity, maintaining the proper gravity, then these pastimes can be heard. But hearing them purposefully and specifically, here it is about reading. When you are reading, you are choosing to read, because when you are hearing, you may not have option. The devotee speaking, of course, now online you can choose to hear anything. But when it comes to reading, you choose. So therefore, unless you are going through a proper medium and steps, first canto, second canto, third canto. So that is the proper way to read. And when it comes to hearing, we can hear from authorized devotees always. But say you just try to hear from some book which you may not, which at your stage you may not be qualified to read, then it is, so safest is just hear from the Bhagavatam, from the devotees, and when those topics come up, then if you have a wish, desire to read, then just inquire with devotees, with a spiritual master or senior devotees, can I read these books? And if they say no, then don't get into them. And it comes to hearing, don't specifically just choose to hear those pastimes. There is some kind of, like, say today is Radhashtami, so you want to hear about Srimati Radharani. Then hear from proper devotees, not from some Bhagavad Sapta that is happening in some place. Okay, Mataji?
Yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Prabhuji, when you said about hearing, now this happens that when we hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, they always give so much of hope. And always there is no matter how many anarthas we have, no matter how much, like how bad our chanting is going on, always Srila Prabhupada's lectures gave us hope that yes, there is a way out.
Mm.
And this does not happen with the other lectures which we listen. So, when we discriminate that, again we become judgmental and you feel like you're doing a Vaishnava Prad. So, what is the exact method by which we should do this then? Because some lectures really demotivate you some so much that you feel that this bucket is never going to fill up. And it happens that then, okay, then why am I even trying about it? But on the other hand, some Prabhupada's lectures are just the contrary. So, what should be the right way of thinking in this way?
If about hearing from Srila Prabhupada, his lectures are also has both aspects. He also makes us very conscious that don't take spiritual life too easy, then he also gives us hope. And each devotee finds that connection to Krishna in different hearing different devotees. Not every devotee experiences that depth or connection with all types of speakers. So, but when it comes to Bhagavatam classes, it is a sadhana, is part of our sadhana. Whether we like it or not, we regularly attend Nityam Bhagavata Seva. So that is part of sadhana. And anything apart from the regular sadhana, like this part of this Bhagavatam class that we do, one of the team that selects the speakers, so we are doing it as a sadhana bhakti that we are hearing. But anything out of this, when we want to do, we want to hear, then it depends that how some devotees, because some devotees are very intellectual. For them, those types of classes inspire. Some devotees are very theatrical. So dramatic. So when they hear dramatic classes with lot of emotions and all, then they like that. But then that is all after your sadhana quota that is done. Then depending on the kind of nature you have and kind of inclination you have, then you can get into, but always within the proper adhikar, without stepping out of one's adhikar. And if we ensure that we are doing our sadhana and then we get into other extra things, then it is okay. But even in our sadhana, when we start discriminating, oh, this Mataji, this Prabhuji's class, I don't like to hear, then it will affect our spiritual life. Because as sadhana, whether we like it or not, every day one class, say if you are following this particular Sangha group, then every day hear. Don't choose, okay, which days I will want to hear, which days I don't want to hear. Unless you have some other sadhana way by which you are hearing classes, and this happens to be your extra quota that you are doing. So whichever way it is, keep something as your sadhana, say 16 rounds, no matter what, I'll do this. And extra things is all based on your inspiration. Whom you want to hear, how much you want to hear. Okay?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you so much. Thank you. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, very nice class Prabhu, thank you for sharing so many nice things. I had one question about this. I appreciate the point about which Srila Prabhupada makes, and even in this purport, and you brought it up, which is we need to go through systematically reading, and then instead of jumping to the higher pastimes, like 10th canto, like that. I appreciate that point. But one clarification I wanted to ask was, in many places in Bhagavatam is mentioned that hearing the pastimes of Krishna is the best. That is how we can progress in devotional service, whether it's in Sashkanda, second chapter, or Kapildev, like that, right, Prabhu? Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So, when that comes, that context is we should take it as pastimes of Krishna or his devotees, like that we should take it?
Yeah, everything, because Krishna and Krishna, that was one of our topics, that Krishna is more appreciated when we hear about his devotees, because those devotees exemplify Krishna's nature. That's like if you want to know a person fully, you ask his near and dear ones, then you will know what the person more than you may directly interact with him. Because you have not much spent time with him, but those who have spent their time, those who have reciprocated with him, when you hear about them and when you hear from them, then you will know more about that, more about Krishna. So therefore, when Bhagavatam speaks about hearing about Krishna, Krishna and Krishna's pastime, Krishna's tadiya, are this verse in the Padma Puran that says that Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. That out of all forms of worship, worshipping Vishnu is the highest. But something even better than that, or even higher than that, is worshipping his devotees, Tadiyanam, with equally as Krishna. So therefore, when we hear about Krishna and Krishna devotees, if many times Parikshit asks about Subhadra being kidnapped by Arjuna, or Parikshit asks about this and that, and he says, why I want to hear about this pastime? Because this pastime has a connection with Krishna, and therefore I want to see how Krishna responded. Just like a hero or some super, very powerful person, how does he respond in different challenges? You get to see, say a cricketer is there, Virat Kohli. How does he face when he has to open the batting? How does he face when he has to field? So these are different situations in which the same person is responding differently. So your appreciation increases of that person hearing in different situations. So therefore, all different pastimes of Krishna, his devotees, Krishna and his devotees can never be separate. If you are hearing about Krishna, about Prabhupada, means Krishna has to be there. Because Prabhupada's life is nothing but serving and pleasing Krishna. So therefore, if you are hearing about some devotee, the Krishna element has to be there in that. Okay? So therefore, hearing about Krishna and Krishna's devotees is same.
Makes sense, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had one more question, Prabhu.
Yes.
When you were, I know we hear about the one of the offenses against the Holy Name is to not describe the glories of the Holy Name to the faithless,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So that came out through your class also, and then when you're talking about the five types of offenses also.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to ask you, so I'm realizing it, so want to clarify so I can apply properly.
Mm.
So for example, when I see something on social media and then I appreciate how Holy Name is very essential and chanting the Holy Name is very nice, like that, then I share hoping that somebody will read it and take it up.
Yes,
but
yes.
Sounds like that can lead to offense also, is it?
Yeah, the second offense is to share something publicly,
yeah,
something of a highly exalted nature. And therefore, preaching was never without the person being in present. It was not a... Now, because of social media, we don't know who is appreciated, for there is likes and dislikes. And somebody is faithless and hears that, and he becomes more envious or more unhappy or angry at Krishna, the thing will come to the person who has forwarded it in that group, and to the original person who had posted in the group. So therefore, preaching, anything that has to do with spiritual life, it's best in person seeing the audience. Like Narada Muni, he never had any one one type of format. But knowing the general mentality of people, there may be some specific, some videos that can address general mentality of the people without like asking them to step to a platform which they can maybe they don't want or they cannot. So generic videos can be shared, or if you know the person well and he knows this, but yeah, sharing in a group can lead to that offense which we preach, which we have in the ninth offense, to preach the glories of the Holy Name to the faithless. So be very careful when you share about something in a group that may not have all that appreciate it.
Yeah, makes sense, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Is there any other question for Prabhuji? Otherwise, you can end the call.
Thank all the devotees for your kind attendance online to hear.
Thank you so much.
Hope I didn't speak anything that I was not qualified to speak, else I would have committed the first offense myself. And hope that all the devotees were also qualified to. Of course, I never delve into any of exalted topics. Are more qualified than me to appreciate and accept this small service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for your very wonderful class. Now we can end the call. We can pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవరా శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ జై. థ్యాంక్ యూ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్.